Hillary Clinton is tops in Florida among Democratic voters with a very close race for second choice for president. We'll tell you who just ahead. Good morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross. And just ahead, we'll tell you who the state's Democrats like in the race for 2016, courtesy of a new UNF poll. Get on the line now with your thoughts at 549-2937. Then later, activists file a temporary motion to stop the state's bear hunt set for this weekend. Plus, signs and symptoms of breast cancer, including in men. We'll tell you about that coming up. But first this hour, Florida Democrats overwhelmingly say they prefer Hillary Clinton for president, followed by Bernie Sanders, and then right behind Vice President Joe Biden. That, according to a new poll just out this morning from UNF's Public Opinion Research Laboratory. The school released data on the Republican side of the race the other day. Today, they're talking about the Democrats' side of the aisle. And there's lots more in the data. Here to share it all with us, we welcome back pollster, professor, and faculty director Mike Binder. Mike, always great to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me here this morning.
And here's our question to callers. What's your reaction to news that a new poll shows Hillary Clinton is the Democrats' overwhelming favorite for president? A survey of likely Democratic Florida voters. But close behind her, Bernie Sanders, actually not close behind her, Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden are close when it comes to second choice for president among Florida Dems. Get on the line now, 549-2937, that's 549-2937, or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email and tweet the show. Lots of comments already on our Facebook page. We'll get to those in a moment. And so, Mike, as you found through this randomized telephone poll, 54% of the state's Democratic primary likely voters say Hillary Clinton is their choice. Bernie Sanders at almost 16%, and then right behind him, Joe Biden, who's not even in the race yet.
I made the mistake over the weekend of declaring his race out. No way on the planet he's going to get in. And who knows? Maybe he actually gets in this week. I still think it's a mistake. I don't see a path for him. But we'll see. Clearly, Hillary is far and away the leader. I think that was evidenced in the debate last week. And this is no different than most other polls that have her handily ahead of Bernie Sanders.
Sanders coming in, when you asked voters who would be your second choice for president, it's Hillary Clinton. Florida Democrats say Joe Biden is their second choice for president at 24% over Bernie Sanders.
And I think that has a lot to do with who Democratic voters are. There are some absolutely that are left wing in the Democratic Party. You're very traditional, very liberal, very progressive types. And they're supportive of Bernie Sanders. But beyond that, once you get to the more moderate wing of the party, they look to establishment candidates like a Hillary Clinton and a Joe Biden.
So we're supposed to find out any day now whether Vice President Joe Biden will get into the race. He's expected to announce within 48 hours whether he will decide to run. Is it too late for Biden? Will a poll like this perhaps give his circle of advisors the sense that there is a chance for him?
I don't think the timing-wise is too late for him. I think the field is not right for him. He's running up against another establishment candidate in Hillary Clinton, who just last week put on a fantastic performance. Granted, she wasn't particularly challenged by the people that were standing up there on the podium with her, but she looks and she has all the characteristics. She's done this before 8 years ago in a very bitter primary battle. And to be honest, I don't know that Joe has this in him. He is an older guy. He's been through this a couple of times. Running for president is a serious, life-changing commitment, and not everybody needs to do that.
And as we speak with UNF pollster Mike Binder, let us know your thoughts about the race to 2016. Florida Democrats surveyed say Hillary Clinton is their overwhelming favorite for president. 549-2937. And you also polled Democratic and Republican voters about some other issues. Both parties say that the economy and jobs is their top concern, followed by terrorism and immigration. However, more Republicans than Democrats list terrorism and immigration as big concerns. More Democrats than Republicans say education is a big concern.
Education, healthcare, the environment, all of those are issues that Democrats care about. And it's not surprising. These are issues that Democrats typically care about. But the idea that the economy and jobs and unemployment, it's typically the most important issue. And the fact that it's so far and away the most important issue here, that gives you a sense of what this campaign will be about over the next 4 months, 5 months, and turning into next year.
And so how do you see whomever the nominees are for both parties looking at Florida and its many electoral votes? It's a state that both parties must win.
This is the state when it comes to next November. You win this state, you win the White House. That's how it's been for the last 20 plus years or so. And because of that, we're going to get attention. And what's interesting about Florida is, in many ways, it looks like the rest of the country. There are obviously some differences, but we are a very diverse state. We have, it's a media state. You can't, unlike New Hampshire, you can't go knocking on doors and shake everybody's hand. And we have an older population here, but we also have a young, vibrant immigrant community here. It's a state that folks have to pay attention to, and they will.
The other day, your UNF poll found that Donald Trump still tops Republican voters in Florida, far out in front of the two favorite sons of this state, Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio. How will the candidates on the Republican side look at those numbers?
Well, I think there's a couple interesting things on the Republican side. One, yes, Trump's still in front, but he's not as far in front as you see in other polls. And I think that might be one of two things. Based on some more recent data, I think it might be the fact that who is in our sample. We looked at likely primary voters. Likely primary voters are different than your average registered Republican, which is what most national polls are looking at. Because of that, these folks tend to be more engaged, more interested, more ideological, and they tend not to necessarily fall for as much of the celebrity aspect. That's why I see Ben Carson doing so well. However, that being said, some other inputs in the Republican side was we asked about favorability for Donald Trump, and his unfavorables were at almost 40%. Favorables at 40% for the Republican Party does not bode well for him long term in a primary race.
What else is in this data that sticks out to you?
I think there's a couple things. The one thing that strikes me is the immigration questions. We asked a series of policy questions on immigration. And right, the way the discussion is at the national level, you might think that the Republicans are all up for building a wall, turning them into felons and throwing them out of the country. And that's just not the case. We had a pretty even split amongst the Republicans as far as having a pathway to citizenship versus not. And that's not discussed. And I think that's fascinating. Mm-hmm. Also, we asked folks a couple of questions. You know, what do you think is an interesting characteristic you want in the next president? And that's not a survey question that you see in most polls. And the Republicans came out, 25% of them said honesty. And I was floored. It was a wide open question.
That's their top characteristic.
Top characteristic that they want to see in a president. And an open-ended question for 25% of the sample to come up with that answer blew my mind. But I was, you know, last week we talked about this. I'm like, oh, hey, I can't wait to see what the Democrats say. This is going to be completely different. Said that on air, completely different. And lo and behold, it's nearly identical.
Honesty.
Honesty is the number one. They're at 20% of the sample, followed by leadership, exactly like the Republicans.
So people want an honest candidate, both parties. Do you think then that that's why we're seeing this strong response for candidates like Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders? People perceive that they're honest, even if you might not agree with their message. Voters are responding to what they perceive as honest talk.
Yes. Bernie Sanders, I think, objectively fits that characteristic more than, say, a Donald Trump, even though Donald Trump is perceived as a very honest, straight shooting, shoot from the hip kind of guy, doesn't necessarily put his finger up to the wind to see what the polls are doing.
Let's go to your calls now as UNF releases the second part of its 2016 presidential poll this morning. Came out the other day with the Republican poll showing Donald Trump leads among Florida Republicans. This morning, we learned that Hillary Clinton leads among the state's Democrats. What are your thoughts? 549-2937 to join the show. Philip in Jacksonville. Hi, Philip. Good morning. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, actually, you got right to the point that I was going to ask about, in that what are your findings with your poll or previous polls you've done reflect with where you think people are, whether it be a Democrat or a Republican, as far as the perceived politicians. By that, I mean, I'm not typically a political kind of guy. You know, I think your average there is more middle of the road than far left or far right. And, you know, I've been with some interest watching these debates this year, and if the Republican side is a joke, I mean, that Trump's even consideration is appalling. You know, I watched basically Hillary and Bernie debate, and, you know, some people say Hillary won, some people say Bernie won. In my eyes, honestly, I think Bernie won, but I like Bernie. I'm confused, and this is my question to you, is how do people, or what do you see in the polls, when you see someone like Hillary, who's a career politician, who you know, very obviously is just saying the things they need to say to get the camera and to give you the, and isn't answering the questions. And you got somebody like Bernie, who, no, not as well polished, but very, very obviously is genuine and trying to get his message across and actually change things for the better. Do your polls reflect anything, or people are perceiving that, or are we just, you know, stuck in a rut? I'll take my question off here. Thanks.
Well, I think there's the professional politician versus the outsider is a theme that's playing out in the Republican Party as well. You're not seeing it as much in a Democratic Party because there are so few candidates. Now, with Hillary and with the outsider versus the professional politician, everybody talks about wanting an outsider. And that's fine. And I'm not here to begrudge anybody that opinion. I would just ask them to think about this, particularly if you're a football fan and you watch the Jaguars. Do you want a professional football coach and a professional general manager, somebody that's been doing it? Or do you want some guy off the street who watches TV and plays fantasy football to run your team? And that's the question that I don't know that everybody thinks through all the way.
Let's go now to John on the north side. The number to join us is 549-2937. Hi, John. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to make a couple comments. I'm not a Bush fan, but I like Jeb Bush much more than any of his brothers. I would recommend, instead of attacking Donald Trump, that you know, he take a little credit for some of the modern things he did, like, if nothing else, he passed no helmet law. And if I were him, I would have myself with a picture of a Harley, or sitting on a Harley, but not driving it, and maybe having something going off into, you know, like I could see an op-ed where someone's driving off past Mount Rushmore because the bikers do a big thing out there. So you had Biden talk to the firemen's union, why not talk about people that ride Harleys, you know.
Thanks, John.
Sure. Reaching out to different constituencies is always a value. At this point, though, I will say this, and the Bush campaign, while these numbers are not great for the Bush campaign, and I would say that, you know, Bush certainly has some concerns ahead of him, he's been playing the long game, and he has been investing in raising money and building resources at the local levels, precinct captains, local organizations, state party committees that are going to be important long run. Ultimately, though, he's going to have to begin to connect to voters because New Hampshire's 4 months away.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
It really is.
Michael in Mandarin. Hi, Michael. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Eliska. Hey, I just kind of had a comment because I was listening to a program. I'm on my way in to work, and I noticed you guys talking about how the people, we the people, want an honest candidate. And you mentioned Bernie Sanders, so I have a lot of respect for. We mentioned Jeb Bush. I noticed you guys didn't mention Hillary Clinton, and she's supposedly the leader and the winner of the debates and the people's favorite. Why is that? And I'll take my comments off the air.
Thanks, Michael.
Well, honesty and perceptions of candidates is very tricky. In fact, there was a poll that came out either today or yesterday up in New Hampshire that was asking about if you had one word to describe Hillary. And liar was one of the ones that came up. And that's problematic for her. Now, our survey looked at the Democrats and likely Democratic voters who are very supportive of Hillary Clinton. I want to make that clear. But this gets at some of the perceived weaknesses long term that maybe a Hillary might have, even though she's doesn't have much trouble in the primary, maybe come the general election, this might be an issue.
Yes, that data set showing that Republicans, more than anything else, want a presidential candidate that they say is honest. And if they don't perceive her, let's say she's the Democratic nominee, which is likely, as honest, that's an issue.
It's an issue, but it's not an issue for Republicans because they're not going to vote for
her anyway.
And yeah. For Democrats, they're going to vote for her. The action is some of those folks in the middle that don't pay a lot of attention, that aren't listening to your program, that aren't looking at Fox News and MSNBC right now, but may show up a year from now to vote. What are they going to do? And the other piece is, can you motivate your base? Can you get your hardcore folks to the polls? Can you get them to donate money?
Okay, let's go to a few of your Facebook comments. Richard, as much as I like Joe Biden, I don't see what his candidacy at this point would accomplish for the country, for the Democratic Party, or him personally. Joan, we already have two fine candidates. Biden would have to find something to make himself different, and that would just hurt the first two. John, many of the greatest teams in American history have run together. Let's see, Clinton, Sanders. Steve, from earlier news reports, Biden voted against the bin Laden raid and Hillary voted in favor of it. If that's true, Biden is toast. That's making news actually this morning. What about that?
Yeah, the role that Biden plays and whether he gets into the race or not is an interesting one. And if you're a Democrat, and you don't want to rock the boat, I understand that. But keep in mind, the Republicans still have 14 people in the field, and they're doing just fine. They're dominating the headlines. So having Biden in the race isn't a bad thing. I don't know that he has a path to victory, but the things that he can inject into the race are some very slight differences with Clinton. I mean, they are both subjects of the Obama administration. They both, obviously, Biden has been there the whole time, but they're also establishment Democrats. Which is unlike a Bernie Sanders. So the person on Facebook is right. You know, there's not a lot of difference there, but another voice can breathe some life into the primary.
Now, let me ask you as well, as you said, on the Republican side, we've got a large number of candidates. So it was a striking difference to watch the two debates, the two Republican debates, where they actually had to have an undercard debate and then a main event debate because there were so many candidates.
So many people.
And then on the Democratic side, five candidates and really only two that mattered. So if another candidate gets in, we still got far fewer on the Democratic side.
Yeah, far fewer. And you'd have a debate that looked more like what we had here in Jacksonville when Bill Bishop and Alvin Brown and Mayor Curry now were debating back in the spring.
Susan is on the line from Orlando. Hi, Susan. Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Are you on the air now? Because I didn't really hear it.
Yes, we are on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm calling about the bear killing, and I'm absolutely horrified at what's going to be happening October 24th. There's going to be about 2,800 hunters in the forest.
Right.
Killing.
And we're so and if many. You can hold the line, Susan, I'm going to put you back on hold because we're going to be talking about that in just a few minutes with another guest.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to put you back on hold. That's a topic that we'll be getting to in just a few minutes. And so as you look at this polling and you're looking at it all the time, Mike Binder, this state has gone blue two election cycles now. I know it's a year and a little bit out, but the Republicans, you know, obviously want to win Florida back in 2016. What's their strategy to do it?
Well, I think it's going to depend, obviously, who comes out of the primary. If you just want to win Florida, you get Rubio or Bush, and I think you can win Florida. The problem is, can those guys get to 270 outside of Florida? And that's a different question.
Right, right. And here's a tweet from James. VP Biden has the candor people want and the experience people need. He writes, we need him in this race. So there's someone who likes Joe Biden for the race. Let's take one more call as we speak to UNF pollster Mike Binder. New data out this morning on 2016 showing Florida's Democratic primary voters overwhelmingly prefer Hillary Clinton for president. This comes on the heels of the Republican poll that came out from the school the other day showing Florida Republicans still place Donald Trump at the top of their list. Keith in Mandarin. Hi, Keith. Go ahead.
Hi. I really think that Hillary's going to be out of the race because of the FBI investigation. So it's a good thing that Biden's getting in for the Democrats, if he is, and I think he will.
All right.
Any money on that?
Thanks, Keith. Thanks for the call. Mike Binder.
Yeah, so that's the one caveat I mentioned that I said declared over the weekend that Biden's done. The one caveat I had was if something crazy happened, that something came out of the Benghazi hearings or something with the email scandal.
That's right. And those are still out there.
Still out there.
Still dogging her candidacy.
Still percolating. And I am skeptical that anything new is going to come out of the Benghazi hearings. We've been going over this literally for years. The email scandal, I am skeptical that you're going to get an indictment from the FBI, just particularly with what we've seen so far. So it's unlikely, but certainly possible.
And let's say an indictment is handed down. Let's just assume that. What then?
Now you're talking. Now that's a serious problem. Assuming and the FBI doesn't send out these political indictments, they take their actions very seriously. And if that were to be the case, that would be damaging to the Clinton campaign. I don't know that it would necessarily end it immediately, but it would certainly be a really serious blow.
But you see it as unlikely.
I see it as extraordinarily unlikely.
In the meantime, we'll have these poll numbers up on our website later today. Always fascinating to speak with you. Mike Binder of UNF's Public Opinion Research Lab, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Much more still ahead. We will discuss the state's scheduled bear hunt this weekend in just a moment. Getting calls on that already. Call us up with your thoughts right now. But right now, we want you to support 89.9 with your pledge. Here's how.
Simply pick up the phone right now and call us here at WJCT 904-353-9528. That's 904-353-9528. Michelle Corum here with Ryan Bank, and we've been enjoying listening to discussion about politics in Florida. If you really want to know the latest from some of the most informed people who puts it all together in a comprehensive way, listen to First Coast Connect, because this is the kind of programming that you'll get and learn about Florida, learn about Jacksonville, learn about national issues as well. It's a great program, right, Ryan?
Right. I mean, every time we listen to the political conversations on First Coast Connect, it becomes immediately clear that, you know, Florida is an incredibly important state when it comes to something like this important presidential election. And where's one place that you can go for a one-stop shop for all of the news regarding this election, regarding the candidates, regarding the political issues, and in a very calm, cool, and collected
balanced
with facts and figures, yeah. It's WJCT. We know that's why you listen to us, and we hope that brings you to give us a little bit of a contribution. Show us what we're worth to you. Mm-hmm. Those numbers are 904-353-9528 and 1-800-722-9528. We are still about a quarter of the way.
Through the whole pledge drive.
Right. Yeah. Starting to sweat a little bit, yeah. I think.
I see. I'm going to have to dab you there. He's got a little glow on his brow. But yeah, you're right. It's the kind of time where everyone who's been thinking about, oh, yeah, it's that week again. I think I'll make my pledge. But they wait till Friday. Well, Friday is a couple days away. And if everybody does that, first of all, you may not ever get to Friday and make your pledge. So we're asking you to do it now. You'll feel great about participating in your public radio station. It belongs to all of us. It belongs to the community. That's why we make that C in WJCT a highlighted colored letter, because it is a community-supported public radio station. So we're waiting for your call.
That's really what sets us apart, too. I mean, that's why you come to us. You don't come to us for the hysterical shouting matches. You come for a calm, cool, and collected conversation about the issues and the candidates and everything else going on in your local community and on the national stage. So again, if you like that kind of news, please give us a call at 904-353-9528 or 1-800-722-9528. Also worthy to mention that you can click your way to WJCT.org and donate that way. You can even use our app. For everyone that has donated and everyone that will, thank you.
Welcome back. Well, environmental groups filed an emergency brief Tuesday in hopes of stopping, or at least slowing, Florida's first black bear hunt in more than 20 years. Now, the hunt is set for this Saturday, and it will be run by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. More than 2,500 permits have been sold to hunters. The state set up this hunt as a way to thin out the black bear population. However, groups protesting the hunt say there are more humane ways of addressing this problem. Black bears were on the state's protected species list until 2012, and they likely number about 3,000 total. Jacksonville activist Adam Sugalski has set up protests against the bear hunt around the state. They are set for Friday. He joins us now with a preview. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on again.
And we'll take your calls. Let us know what you think about this weekend's black bear hunt. We'll go to your calls in a moment at 549-2937. So an emergency brief filed Tuesday, Adam, by the Animal Defense Legal Fund and the Center for Biological Diversity. What are the activists asking the court to do?
Well, they're asking to stop it and just take a closer look at it. In 2016, there was supposed to be a study completed with the full bear population. The study has not been completed. And to think that we need to do this hunt with all the information in front of us before we make a decision that could possibly put the black bears back on extinction.
The Fish and Wildlife Conservation
back
Commission.
Back to path extinction, sorry.
Back to extinction. So we're looking at a few thousand bears around the state. The idea for the hunt, it was approved because bears are now moving into populated areas. This is justified under the idea of thinning out the bear population. What about that argument?
Well, it's a human-bear conflicts are never solved by hunting, and this is even in the FWC's own website. They state this. Bear-proof trash cans are the reason, the way to solve these issues, but hunting has never been one of a solution for this. And that was even in their five-year bear management plan. Hunting was not put in this to solve bear-human conflicts.
You're setting up protests that will happen statewide on Friday, including here in Jacksonville.
We have St. Augustine, Jacksonville, Tallahassee, Ocala, Gainesville, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Fort Myers, West Palm Beach, Melbourne, and Sarasota will be protesting 11:30 to 1 o'clock on Friday.
Is it too late, though? It looks as though, unless there's an emergency stay by the judge, that this hunt is going forward.
It's most likely the hunt will go forward, but we still think the public needs to know. The average person I talked to does not understand why we're having this hunt, and the majority of Floridians are against this undemocratic, unscientific, and immoral hunt.
How did this even come about? If we have a situation where black bears were on the state's protected species list until just a few years ago, has the bear population gotten bigger since then?
No, and that's a big question mark. Nobody really knows. The FWC has kind of gone back and forth. First, they talked about the bear-human conflicts, and then they kind of go back. That's not what it's about. It's about managing bear population, but in court testimony on October 1st, 2015, Dr. Thomas Eason, Director of Habitat Species Conservation for the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, admitted the black bear has not exceeded the biological carrying capacity of its habitat. In other words, there aren't too many black bears in the woods. And this is from the FWC, mind you.
So in your view, what would be a better way then to keep bears and humans from interacting?
Bear-proof trash cans, education, and we don't think hunting even needs to be on there at this point, and it's actually called PZP, DART sterilization. If the bears got so out of control, you could sterilize the populations to manage them that way.
Let's go to your calls now as the state's black bear hunt set for this Saturday is drawing protests and court actions. What are your thoughts? 549-2937. Susan in Orlando. Thanks for holding, Susan. I know you've been on hold a while. Go ahead. You're on the air.
I'm with one of the organizations, Animal Hero Kids, that is supporting stopping this killing. I've rehabilitated wildlife, and I've been going to the Fish and Wildlife Commission meetings for 30 years. What people don't realize, the general public, is that the Florida Wildlife Commission is made up of hunters. And in all of the meetings that I spoke at, only once did they ever decide not to kill an animal or not to kill or go in on a hunting. The fact is they don't really know how many bears there are, and this 2,700 hunters so far going into the forest with guns and bows is going to be a sheer nightmare. Not for the bears, for the bear cubs, the mothers who will get shot also, because there's no way of telling if a mother has if a bear is 100 pounds, a mother, with cubs. They're going to be bringing dogs in. It's going to be a sheer carnage in the woods, and I'm so upset. I've been helping animals for 34 years, but this is the absolute worst thing the Fish and Wildlife Commission has ever done.
That's Susan in Orlando. Thanks for calling. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission has issued a response to all of these protests. Let's talk about their position. Adam.
Oh, about what they've issued? To us, you mean?
Yeah.
They haven't really said much back to us. It's almost like they're kind of, I would say, ignoring us. I have never gotten an official statement back from them. One thing we are doing, though, is we actually have several teams going in the woods this weekend and next week to monitor bear hunt stations and to serve as a watchdog group, just to document the bears coming in. And we're hoping to get access to basically be able to do autopsies on the bears to decide if the bears are being bear baited, which means they're at deer feeding stations, which if you take the stomach contents out of a bear, it'll have a corn in it, which is from a deer station. But if it has like acorns and berries, it's most likely a wild bear, because right now there are bears on these big hunting properties that are basically semi-domesticated bears eating from deer feeders that are going to be basically shooting fish in a barrel. These bears are not scared of people. So they're almost like domesticated, where they come out, eat, they walk back in the woods, they come back the next day and eat. And these hunters have cameras set up, infrared, GPS. I mean, they're ready for these bears Saturday morning.
Lynn at the beaches. Hi, Lynn. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm really glad that you're having this on today. I have been donating to the Florida Wildlife for some time, and I'm going to tell you that that has ceased as of this issue. There are multiple reasons why these animals are coming out into people's places, and it's because so much of their property has been built upon, and I've seen this in other parts of the county when some big new building went up or condominiums, and then deer were on the road being hit, this kind of thing. And the last piece of my concern is, once again, we've got these people with guns. They've just got to get out there and kill something. And fortunately, you know, some people are saying, well, at least it's not a human being, but it could be. But this overriding issue of not realizing, and as this woman said earlier, you know, that she's been involved in animal concerns, so have I. But for some reason, the people with a gun in their hand are very dense. Thank you, Melissa.
All right. Lynn, thanks for the call. To give the other point of view, here, as I'm pulling from the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission's website, and they write, will hunting bears end human-bear conflicts? No. Hunting is used to attain wildlife population objectives. Hunting is one of many tools that can be used to meet bear management objectives. All states that allow bear hunting also have human-bear conflicts. Whenever bears and people live near each other, conflicts are possible as bears seek out human food sources like garbage, birdseed, and pet food. The most successful way to reduce human-bear conflicts is to secure items that attract bears. That's their response. Adam Sugalski.
Well, see, and that's actually kind of, they state that to control populations, but they don't even have accurate numbers of populations. So it's kind of counterintuitive. They're making that statement, but yet they don't know the numbers. And in 2016, they would know more than numbers of accurate numbers. So why are they not waiting until 2016 to make a better decision on this?
A tweet from a listener, bears aren't the problem, humans are. Sprawl and encroachment. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. And many of these bear conflicts have happened where I think a woman was attacked last year. The neighbors were feeding the bears they thought. And these bears come in for a free meal. And if the people would just put their trash away, clean their grills out back, bird feeders away, half these problems wouldn't even happen. And that's even like 95% wouldn't happen. That was in the court testimony by the FWC.
What about the fear many homeowners or folks might have that they're going to be attacked by a bear? Do you think that could be driving this hunt?
Well, if you look at black bears' diet, they're 80% vegetarians, 15% feed on insects, and maybe 5% on meat, on carrion. So bears, the Florida black bears, one of the smallest black bears in North America, these are not would like a grizzly bear or a polar bear that are more meat eaters.
Julie emails the show, and the number to join us to talk about the state's black bear hunt set for this weekend is 549-2937. Julie emails the show, one should never blame the bear or the wildlife that incurs on your property. Whenever you think of the bear, the Canada goose, or even a feral cat is at fault, think instead that we are destroying their homes and food sources. I commend the gentleman who has taken this time to protest. let me know where I can go to help this cause.
No, actually, she makes a very good point about food sources. Bears are losing two major important food sources. One is a saw palmetto berry that had been harvested. You'll see that in like health supplies. Also, too, with acorns, oak trees are being cut down and replaced with pine trees, which don't have anything the bears can eat. And oaks, the acorns are a viable food source, so they are losing food. They're losing habitat, and you know we're encroaching on their territory. So it's up to us in education, the people living those territories, to stop these bear conflicts.
Let's go now to Bill in St. John's. Hi, Bill. Good morning. Thanks for calling.
Yes, good morning, Melissa. Nice to get some of the opposite opinion. I think that your guest and most of the callers have been ignoring the fact that this is a biological control issue, just like hunting deer or anything else, the reason they have seasons. And quite frankly, you know, we hunted bears in Florida up until about 15 or 20 years ago. And it was a good utilization tool for managing the bear population. And the fact of the matter is, people are going to hunt, and the experts and the biologists at the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission would not support this if it wasn't a really good tool. Thank you.
Bill, thanks for the call. What about that?
Well, I'd have to completely disagree. Hunting is a problem that put these bears in the endangered, threatened list as they were, because of overhunting, and hunting hasn't been allowed for 20 years. So I disagree with the caller, and hunting put the bears in this problem in the first place, and it's going to put them right back into it if this hunt is not stopped or managed better.
Don on the south side. Go ahead, Don.
Yes, I couldn't really hear Bill very well, but it sounds like he was echoing what I was going to say as far as, you know, human beings have been hunting for thousands of years, and you know, I understand that there's not a need to hunt, but we do have the desire to hunt, and hunting is part of the culture in this area. People that I know have been hunted black bears back, you know, when it was legal to do 15, 20 years ago, like the previous caller said, and now that the population is to where it's getting involved with human activity, and you know, maybe it's time to allow a little bit of hunting.
All right, Don.
I hear these people talking about this. Oh, there's going to be mass pandemonium of people in the woods and just killing everything, and that's not how it works. It's kind of a quiet time where you can go out in the woods and maybe you see something, maybe you don't. And more often than not, you don't. So, anyway, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Don.
Well, I'm going to go back to what Dr. Thomas Eason, the Director of Habitat Species and Conservation for the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, admitted. The black bear has not exceeded the biological carrying capacity. The two gentlemen that just spoke, we're talking about maybe bears are ready to be hunted again. They are not ready to be hunted again. And this is by their own, you know, there's not an overpopulation of bears. That is not the problem.
Josh tweets the show, given the lack of scientific evidence, wouldn't it be more prudent to apply a precautionary principle and wait until we have more information? Let's go to Casey in Mandarin now. Hi, Casey. Go ahead.
Hi, Melissa. I'm just calling in kind of as a moderate voice. I have many, many friends who enjoy hunting, and I don't think there's anything wrong with hunting as long as you're using or consuming the animal that you are hunting. But I can't imagine, people always think that, you know, if there's a problem, if there's overpopulation, hunting is the answer. People are the answer. And I can't imagine that enough research is done to really prove that hunting would decrease the population and make bears able to live in harmony with humans.
Thanks, Casey. Well, clearly a hot topic. We will wait to see what the court rules. In the meantime, protests are set for Friday. The hunt is set to begin Saturday. Adam Sigalski, thanks for joining us with your thoughts.
No, thank you. And if you find out more information, you can go to welovebears.com as our website. Thank you.
Thank you. Back in a moment.
I'm Nancy Bronner of the One Jacks Institute.
And I'm Kyle Reese of Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church.
Join us for WJCT's quarterly program, Faith Matters.
On each installment, we'll explore today's most pressing issues through the lens of faith.
Join the conversation as we speak with religious leaders about the nature of forgiveness and using faith to understand and heal.
Thursday morning at 9 on 89.9 WJCT.
This is the sound of drama. This is the sound of your community.
Good morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9.
Stay connected. Stay informed. Enjoy live streaming of your favorite local WJCT and PBS and NPR content, all free from your devices. The WJCT app, available now in the Apple App Store and Google Play.
So, where do you listen to WJCT?
Hi, this is Christian Popoli. I listen to WJCT during my daily commutes to and from work, and almost always on the weekends.
WJCT is here for you anytime, anywhere. Call now with your pledge of support, 904-353-9528.
Finally, this hour, October marks Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Now, you might think you know all about this disease, but there's a lot of information out there that could surprise you. Everything from breast cancer in men to new procedures that physicians here on the First Coast are using with great success. Dr. Shala Massoud is a professor and chair of the Department of Pathology at University of Florida College of Medicine, Jacksonville, and chief of pathology and laboratory medicine at UF Health. She joins us now. Good morning, Dr. Massoud.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for being with us. Lots to talk about. Let's begin with a topic that I don't think gets enough attention, breast cancer in men. That exists.
Yes. Men also get breast cancer. The incidence is much smaller than the incidence in women. And of course, when men get breast cancer, we have to really look at the family history, because that's where breast cancer genes usually sort of participate in the process. And the treatment and diagnosis of breast cancer in men is similar to what we see in women.
In women. And let's talk about treatment, diagnosis, the most important points you want to get out during Breast Cancer Awareness Month. In particular, the risk factors women and men need to be aware of, the signs and symptoms they need to look for.
Yes. Fundamentally, breast cancer is a disease that occurs in many women and in small percentage of men. And majority of the breast cancers are not associated with any risk factors. However, the risk factors that they have been identified and associated with breast cancer are just being a woman and being an older age
and getting older.
Getting old. Age is a fundamentally is an important risk factors. And other risk factors include family history of breast cancer and or ovarian cancer. Having family history of cancer overall and having members of family with breast cancer occurring in early age before 40 years of age. Families belonging to Ashkenazi Jewish family, families that they have male breast cancer. So these are all participating, and those that they have longest standing exposure to estrogen are those people that they need to really look into the possibility of that association or subsequent development of breast cancer.
You also wanted to talk about microcalcifications. Can you explain?
Yes. Microcalcifications are calcium deposit in parenchyma of the vessel, parenchyma of the breast or the vessel wall of the breast tissue, and occasionally they're associated with breast cancer. However, majority of microcalcifications, fortunately, are benign. Therefore, just the fact that the people go to a screening mammography and are called back because of that microcalcification, it doesn't mean that they have breast cancer. However, they need to be biopsied so that we make sure that the patient doesn't have microcalcification.
And breast conservation therapy is an important part of treatment. What is it and who should undergo it?
One of the major really advances in breast cancer in recent years have been a paradigm shift from, you know, changing from mastectomy, removal of the entire breast, to removal of a portion of the breast where the tumor is, follow that with radiation therapy, which we call it conservation therapy. 25, 30 years of experience of, you know, investigators such as Professor Veronese in Europe and Dr. Bernard Fisch in the United States have shown that the outcome of the patients undergoing mastectomy is similar to patients that they go under conservation therapy. So this is a new surgical intervention. Of course, it's not new. It's for many years right now. This is what is being offered to the majority of the patients that they have breast cancer. Not all patients are the candidate for conservation therapy, but majority are. Unfortunately, this is right now a standard of care, and this option is offered to the patients.
And you mentioned when some patients have to have a biopsy done, there's a sentinel lymph node biopsy procedure.
Yes, another major, again, intervention in surgical therapy of the patient was the fact that previously, when a patient gets breast cancer usually sort of spread, and the first place that they go is the axillary lymph node, the lymph node under the arm of a patient. Therefore, they used to just take out all the nodes, and as the consequence of that, patients would develop what we call it lymphedema. The arm gets swollen, numbness, and very, very uncomfortable. Now, right now, instead of doing a total axillary dissection, first they do the biopsy of the first node that they may have harbored, the metastatic tumor. And if it is negative, they don't do axillary dissection. If it is positive, that is where they do. So this procedure spares many women from getting into the lymphedema and the complication associated with that.
And that's positive news. The prognosis for so many women is so much more positive than it used to be, it seems.
Well, you're absolutely right. And that is actually a message that I would really like to give. And I'm sorry for my voice that I have a little bit of hoarseness today. But fundamentally, with more advances in science and technology and the fact that we are learning more and more about breast cancer every day, majority of the breast cancers, especially if they're detected early, they're manageable and they're curable in many ways. Therefore, breast cancer is not a fatal disease in many, many breast cancer patients. There are still a small portion of breast cancers that they are fatal, they're aggressive, and those are the people that we fortunately can, again, look at the biology of the tumor, look at the histology of the tumor, and define them and identify them. And those are the people that they have to undergo aggressive therapy. The rest of really patients with breast cancer, they need to really look at breast cancer as a chronic disease rather than a fatal disease.
Well, you're a wonderful physician on the First Coast, and we thank you so much for sharing this information with us during Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Thank you.
Dr. Shalal Masood, professor and chair of the Department of Pathology at UF College of Medicine, chief of pathology at UF Health, joining us this morning. And that is our program. Diane Rehm is up next. Tomorrow, we will be dark. Instead, make sure to tune in for our new quarterly program, Faith Matters. It's our former God Squad, which so many listeners have asked about. Well, it's coming back tomorrow at 9, so tune in for that. Right now, though, here's how you can support us.
Simply pick up your phone and dial us here at WJCT. The number is 904-353-9528. Again, 904-353-9528. Michelle Corum talking to you now, asking you to call in a pledge of support during First Coast Connect. I'm here with Ryan Bank, who's in our news department. And we also have a special guest sitting in with us this morning. It's Taylor Smith, who is shadowing me for a couple of hours this morning, visiting the station. He's here on a mentoring day sponsored by the Division of Blind Services and listening in the studio to see how WJCT works as a public radio station. So we're really glad to have Taylor Smith and his mom Cindy in the studio this morning. And we hope that they will be a reminder to you also of how our public radio station works, that we require pledges of support a couple of times a year
from the listener, you who enjoys the programming such as First Coast Connect. So this is the time we're saying, hey, we're here, we're answering the phones, and whatever pledge you want to send in is very much appreciated. Right, Ryan?
Right, right. Because I think it's worth to mention that we are a community radio station. We are your station. It's not our station. We don't really own or control the content here. You do. You tell us what you want to hear. You tell us about the big stories of the day that you want to learn about. And we bring that information to you, and we do that every day. So if you want to support us and you want to support that mission of being a community radio station, give us a call with your pledge of support at 904-353-9528 or 1-800-722-9528. I mean, anything that you can give, whether it's a one-time gift or whether you want to become a monthly sustainer, give $10, $15 a month. If you do become a sustainer, if you do give us $10 a month, we'll send you a T-shirt. It's very comfortable. It's very suited for the Florida heat.
Yeah.
It's nice and thin.
Lightweight, yeah.
Lightweight,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, but that's good.
And it'll show that you support WJCT. It says, I love WJCT right on the front of the shirt. We have a goal this week of $80,000. But to tell you the truth, that's almost a drop in the bucket in comparison to what we have to pay every day just to keep the lights on and to pay for the programming.
The programming, right.
It's, you know, $410,000 every
for a year.
Every year. Mm-hmm. That's $1,200 a day. So right now we have a little bit more than $20,000 that we've collected so far. But this is Wednesday and we only have until Friday. Isn't that right, Michelle?
That's right. So we're putting the pressure on you a little bit here. Get it done as you start off your day, and then you'll be done with it. And you'll feel great about knowing that you are a public radio supporter. We appreciate all those of you who have called in and made a pledge of support in any amount. Again, this is the great time to go ahead and pledge $120. You'll get the gift of the T-shirt. Also, if you want to be a monthly sustainer, then you don't have to worry about anything. It's automatically withdrawn from your account, and you can leave it as long as you want. You know, if you want to go beyond a year, $10 a month, that's great. Just set it and forget it, and we would love that. If you want to change that amount, call us and let us know. The number to call in, 800-722-9528. Those last four digits, WJCT, 800-722-9528. And give us a call of support here during the fall pledge drive at WJCT, your community,
your world.
So think about that. It belongs to all of us here. So thanks very much for your support.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.